good to be with you again. It's been a while since I've been with you. Mom got a Sunday. We had a guest speaker Sunday. Randy had a Sunday. But I'm glad to be with you this Sunday. Hallelujah. Before we do anything, let's just pray. Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask that you would help me, Lord, to deliver the word. Father, in a way, Father, that the anointing of the word would go forth and break up the fallow ground in the hearts of men and women. God, traditions of men, religious thought patterns, repeat words that run through the minds of men and women would be broke today. And the truth would go forth and settle in and begin to take root in the heart of your believer. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. By the way, for those of you new believers out there, that is a wonderful prayer to pray before you read your Bible. You know, I used to use the excuse, well, Lord, I read that, but I don't understand it. Well, first of all, get a version you do understand. And number two, ask the Holy Spirit to help you, and He will reveal all things to you. Don't give up on reading the Word because the devil lies to you and says it's too hard to understand. No, it's not. A child can understand the love of Jesus and the words written by our Father to us. Amen? Amen. Okay. Well, today we start a series called You Asked for It. And on Easter morning, we took a survey of all of our people that were here and present. And we asked you to say what was important to you that you wanted to know about. So my title for today's message is called Finding My Why. Why do you exist, and what is your purpose in this life as a believer, maybe as a mother, as a husband, as an employee, whatever? You have a why. And so many people are searching for why. The struggle is this: people wander through their lives aimlessly. They change their jobs, they change their career. They go to college for 4 years and then to decide to go back and do it again because they didn't pick the right major, because now they understand life differently. Some people even change their church because they think that their purpose is not here any longer. When really, the hole that you're finding inside is that you're not being fulfilled because you're trying to do a purpose that is not yours. The only way you and I as believers are fulfilled, I'm going to say this, the only way the world and all of the people that live in it are going to be fulfilled and fully feel like they've accomplished something is if it's done His way. That's the problem. You can achieve great success. You can achieve a name for yourself. But on the bottom line, when you get to heaven and you hear, well done, good and faithful servant, then you know you are about His purpose and His why. The word purpose simply means a reason for which something or someone is created to exist. Everyone wants to know this. In fact, we talk about this in our new membership class when you come and you become a part of the church. Mark Twain said there's two important days in a person's life, and I'm going to champion this. The day you were born, because if you weren't born, there's no reason. There is no need and purpose for your life if you're not born. And number two, the day that you know why you were born. Because without that why, without that purpose, without that knowing of what you were made to do, we wander aimlessly, hoping that we've met the mark. And that's not what God has for us. So let's start with our scriptures in Colossians today, the first chapter, the 15th and 16th verse. And I'm reading out of the NLT this morning. And if you don't have that, that's all right. It's on the screen. It says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through Him, through Jesus, through Christ, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things that we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authority in an unseen world. Everything was created through Him and for Him. you and I were created through him and for him. You and I have a purpose. Right there, we find immediately that we were created for relationship with the Almighty God. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. You can avoid that for a really long time, or you can choose to get to know the Father and who God is in your life. And I'm not talking about Christianity in America today. Oh, no, I know about Jesus. Yeah, I know God. Oh, yeah, I'm a good boy. Yeah. You know, I'm good. I don't sleep around on my wife. I take care of my children. I'm a good man. Good man and good men don't make it to heaven. And in case someone needs to be reminded of that today, when we find Christ, we don't just find Christ and get the remission of sin from our past, but we start taking steps to walk in a life of sinlessness. And we use the Holy Spirit to help us rein in that power to stay sin free. It doesn't come, I'm going to be real with you, this is going to hurt some of you, it doesn't come from just coming to church on Sunday. It doesn't come from the pastor doing the work on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, chewing up the food, regurgitating it on Sunday, and spoon feeding it to you so you can spit it back on me. It comes from you putting your head in the Word and knowing who He is. It doesn't come any other way. See, Sunday morning food will only cause you to you ready for this? Live a common life. You're just getting by. You're going to get to heaven. You're going to get there because, you know, I did my best and God did the rest. But you're not going to receive the fullness of what God has for your life if you don't begin to pursue and know who He is. You were created to know Him. I think of that song we sing, Worthy of the Lamb, but it's, for from you are all things, and to you are all things, you deserve the glory. Remember that part of the song? Goes with Revelations, the 4th chapter and the 11th verse. It says, you are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased. Whew! You know, I think sometimes they look at science and they find out all these new things in science. They're like, oh, there's a whole new galaxy. I think when all of us go to sleep at night, God's like, watch this. And he's like, and the scientists are like, we found this new galaxy. He's like, yeah, because I wanted you to. You know I'm great. He's like, I'm so awesome. Look, he loves to create. It's who he is. But you and I were created with a purpose to find him, or he finds us. I was lost, but now I'm found by the Creator who created me and made me in the image of who he was. But we don't stop there. Our purpose is not just to be found. Our purpose now lives on because it's greater than a one-and-done stop shop. But some of us get pitched right there, and we just stop because now we're found. So we must not need to do anything else. I think sometimes we look at this search, and we keep searching for the why and the purpose, but we get lost in the search. I wonder, maybe this looks familiar. Maybe some of you have read a story in the Bible about the people of God who kept wandering aimlessly around the same mountain. Not for 1 year, not for 2 years, not for 3 years, not for 4 years, not for 5 years. For 40 years! All the while, their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. They weren't hungry. They weren't thirsty. And we, today, modern Christians in the New Testament, look at the Old Testament and we're like, well, it's a good thing we're not them. Took me a long time to stop wandering around and wonder what my purpose was and what my call was and what I was supposed to do to please the Lord, because I didn't know for sure. I thought, Lord, you haven't told me exactly. I want to hear you say. Well, that's not often how it happens. How about this? Some of you keep walking around what you know God wants you to do because you're too fearful to do what he's asked you to do. Because you think it's too big. It's too grand. Trust me, it's far grander than you could ever think. Ben, when you thought of Dream On, when you and your family thought of Dream On, did you think it would be what it is today? No. You started out with one idea. In fact, I remember you coming into the office. Pastor, I think this is what I'm supposed to do, in a journal. And you started keeping track of what God was telling you and how to do it. But it started with one journal entry, one thought that God gave man, and he wrote it down and went, yep, I'm going to start taking a step towards that. But you must use faith to conquer the fear that it takes to get around the mountain. See, the Jews wouldn't do that. The Israelites didn't want to do that. In fact, they got comfortable walking around the mountain. They got food. They got water. In fact, so comfortable that they just started to complain about the leaders leading them around the mountain. How many of you know that a leader can tell you what is right, but if you don't choose to step out in faith and do what the word says, even though the leader's given it to you, you're the one that's going to be frustrated. You're the one that's going to be complaining about where you are. When the answer's been given, all you have to do is take the word and step out and take a chance. I remember a young girl. I think she was about, 20, 21. And she came to me and she said, Nicole, this is what I've got to do. God's calling me to a different place and I got to go here. And I said, okay. I said, know this, if you go, there's always a bridge back home. Don't you let the devil tell you that once you've got where you're going, that if that doesn't work, that you can't come home. Why? Because sometimes wisdom looks at immaturity. And wisdom can see that this is an immature decision being made in your life. But maturity doesn't intervene in immaturity. It allows immaturity to learn by its mistakes. I would rather see all of you make a choice that you thought was faith and take a step, and you thought it was the Lord leading you, and take a step and then come right back home and say, you know what, Pastor Nicole, Pastor Rady, that was not where I was supposed to be, but I know now more than ever right where I'm supposed to be. Taking a chance on what you think is God is not failure. The only way it becomes failure is if you and I don't learn from the mistake. Take a chance on your purpose. Sometimes things only come by trial and error. You know, as a kid, I wanted to be a veterinarian. I can't stand to see blood, guts, and gore. I don't know what I was thinking. I can't stand to feel anything that I love in pain. Nothing. In fact, the second something starts to bleed, I cover it and close my eyes and I go somewhere else. I'm like, tell me what it looks like. Because I'm going to pass out. I would have been the worst veterinarian in the world. But really what I was feeling in my heart was I was being pressed to love something and I hated to see something that I loved hurt. What's a pastor's heart look like? I love you. I don't want to see you hurt. I don't want to have to see you lay on that surgery table of the Lord. And some of these surgeries are easier than others because you give in to the Lord a whole lot earlier than you could wait. But then you have open heart surgery and it's really bloody and it's massive and it's everywhere. But if you just do what he tells you to do and walk with him, see, he's the great surgeon. I'm just the one loving you there. I'm the one getting you to lay down on the table so that he can do his mighty work. It's all a difference. Your purpose is in you. We can't get lost in the searching of it. We have to get lost in looking towards the one who, not why. Finding your why is in the who. He is who delivers our why. He is who reveals our why. And if you don't know him, you're never going to know your why. And you say, well, I do know him, Nicole, but he's not speaking to me. Then keep asking. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. Keep asking. Knock, seek, ask. The door will be opened to you. But knocking on Sunday is not enough. I'm going to be honest with you. I know there's a lot of parents in here that get the mom card, the dad card. Dad, 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 dad. And I'll be talking to somebody. Ashley's kids are at this age right now. She's like, shh, not right now. I'm in a conversation. Mom, 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 mom. And they just persist. She's like, not now. How many of you moms and dads know? The longer they knock, the longer they say, mom, you're like, just get this kid taken care of. What do you need? And then you give it to them and they move on and you can finish your adult conversation. I'm not saying that's the right parenting mode or not. I really don't know. I gave in, I'm sure, multiple times. But I'm saying the squeaky wheel gets the grease. God doesn't have a respecter of persons, but there's a seeking process that goes with your why. And the who is connected to your why. And if you spend time with the who knows your why, he'll reveal your purpose. It all comes from him. So I have multiple purposes in my life. I have multiple purposes. I'm a mother. I'm a wife. I'm a pastor. I'm a friend. And there's a lot of purposes that I exist for. And I'm going to be honest with you, through time, my purpose has changed. It's evolved. I hate to use that word in church because I don't believe creation, or we evolved into an existence. It's not what I'm saying. I believe we were created by God, but we change. We morph. He doesn't change. His ultimate plan for our life never changed. The purpose for our lives as a body of believers is different than your individual purpose. Are they connected? Sure they are. Your motherhood, believe it or not, is connected to your church. Your husbandship is connected to your church. Do you want to know why? Because if you're a really lousy husband and the police is coming to your door and you've got your Only Believe shirt on while you're fighting with your wife and the police is putting you in handcuffs because you put your hands on her, that's a bad example for the church. And now I've got to be making excuses of why you're like you are, and I got to cover your sin because I don't want to expose you. How we live our lives affects all of us, and it's all connected to the church. So when we don't do our part and have a relationship with God, and we start wandering around aimlessly, I wonder what I'm supposed to do in the church. You know, sometimes I just don't feel like I got anything to do. I don't got anything to offer. Lies. Lies, lies, lies. You have bought into the fact that the devil says you're not important, that God doesn't care about you, that you don't have what it takes to get where you're going in this life and in his kingdom. You do. You do. And the devil's been sniffing you out and lying to you too long. You've got an earthly purpose while you're here. And it's meant to be in relationship with him. You know, my kids, when they were little, the only thing that I lived my life telling them was yes and no. No. Why? Because I said so. Why? Because I said so. No, I'm not kidding. Have you ever met the kid? Why? 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 You give them 13 answers and they're still digging you down to why. I'm like, I'm not going to give you another answer to why. You're going to go clean that room because I told you so. Right? And that's where you become. But now I don't look at my kids. Well, they are in our house a little bit too long. Maybe I do tell them that still. No. My life and my season of parenting has changed. I'm not telling them yes and no. I'm posing the question, hey, so why did you choose to do it that way? Well, because mom, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, that's it. I don't offer no advice until, do you think it was a wrong way? Well, if I was you, I would have considered this. Okay, the boys, both boys, they're beautiful. They're great. They're married. But the issue is that I know how a woman wants to be loved. And so I'm spurring them on to love their wives in a godly way. I'm not saying yes or no, you can't have that. Move out of the way, don't do this. They're adults. They're adulting. And I'm trying to let them. And it's hard. Does that mean my purpose as a mother stopped? It changed. It changed. There are seasons in our life that purposes change. My purpose used to be that I was a worship leader. Do you know what the worship leading position did for me? The worship leading position taught me that I don't do what I do for the Lord because of the way people respond. On a given Sunday, I've got people going, Jesus! I got people laying before the Lord like this. I got tears streaming down people's faces. I've got people who sat and said the worship service was great. I said, really? That's how you displayed that the worship service was great? Well, yeah, I'm just more of a quiet person. Okay. Okay. I got people who lay on the floor. I got people who get covered. I've got people that dance till they lose their mind on the slowest song. And what I identified was the way I led worship was non-dependent on any of you. And that my audience was one. And it was the Most High God. And whether you worshiped, whether you didn't, whether you thought you were, whether you thought you weren't, where you were hacked off and mad because the song we did before, I hate that song. I hate those songs, but I worship and you'd never know I hated it. Because I'm not after the tune. I'm not after the note, not even the key. I'm after the one that I'm singing it to, and that's all that matters. I wouldn't be here this morning preaching to you and pastoring you if I cared about the way you responded. And I say that with the utmost love and the utmost care because I want you to be pleased. But that is not my job. My job is to give you the word. I was with a man and his wife today. They moved, and I only saw the husband, but they're back home visiting and from Alabama. And as they were, I said, have you found a church? And he said, well, we're kind of going between two. And I said, you know what? Go to the one that steps on your feet, because we don't need no one, nah, it's okay, you can just do what you want and be who you want. Nah. Get someone who's going to hurt you and tell you the truth. Because coming into the last days, we don't need somebody making this no soft, crazy word that says, well, you can just live like a sinner because we're all sinners and just saved by grace. That's not where we're living no more. It's not true. God paid the price. Don't get uncomfortable when your season changes. So many people come to this state where their children leave the nest. And when they leave the nest, they get frustrated with their purpose. They get frustrated with their why because it looks like it's changing. Some spouses who lose husbands or wives. That's hard to go through. Because your why was sitting in a pew together. And now you're not sitting in that pew together anymore. So your why, it feels like half of your why has been ripped off and put somewhere else. But that's not true. Every single one of you have a why and a purpose on your own. But when you get married, those whys come together and become one. But when one passes away, your why is still the same. And God becomes walking next to you. And your singular purpose is still walking out. Don't give up. I know it's hurtful. I know it's painful. My why looks different that my father's gone. But it almost became more strong because now I know what needs to be done, and it needs to be done with or without him, because it's not my relationship with him that gave me my why. It's my relationship with him that revealed my why. We got to get serious about doing what God's why is and not sitting on the sidelines. Let's go to Proverbs 25. I'm reading this one out of the NIV because it literally uses the word the purposes. The purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but the one who has insight, not sight, but an insight, draws them out. And that means he who has understanding and wisdom. You know, you and I have an unlimited amount of wisdom that's available to us that James writes to us about. It says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of me, and I'll give it to him. In fact, I won't just give it to him and like say, here's a little. I'm going to give it to him liberally, because God knows we need a lot of it to walk through this life. It's not okay that you think you have it worked out. And it says that the deep waters have, I'm going to be real with you. I have two earthly fears in this life. Two. I never want to be lost at sea, ever. It freaks me out. I must have watched too many movies. And number two, I never want to be lost in space. So you're not going to find me on no shuttle, and very seldom are you ever going to find me in a large body of water without lifeboats. The first thing I asked when we went on a cruise, how many boats do you have and how many people are on the ship? Because the Great Titanic should not repeat itself. Just saying. When we snorkel, guess the spot I'm not going to. It's real nice. It's beautiful. It's nice. It's aquamarine water. It's light blue. And then it goes to pitch dark black blue. That's where the sharks live, and I'm not going. Did anyone watch Shark Tank? Shark Tales. Out of the dark sea blue ocean came those sharks. It wasn't in the light place. It was the dark place. It's deep out there. It's deep. I don't have the tools to navigate that deep water. But God's telling us that if you'll use my wisdom, my Holy Spirit, I'll help you navigate the deep places in this heart, because you don't understand it, but I made it. And I know what lies in there, and I know what's got to be brought out. But you have to navigate it. And see, you don't. You want to sit on Sunday and me tell you what your purpose is. That's what you want. I can't tell you that. Only between you and God does that answer lie. Only between you and God will you be held accountable in the last day for what you give an account for. I can't give an account for your purpose. You can't give an account for mine. You know, that's one of the big things that around the church, you know, with a woman pastor. Well, you know what the word says about that. Well, I do know what the word says about it, but let me put this in your terms. You believe women can't pastor. So if I pastor, I'm not going to please God, and I'm going to end up in an eternity without him. Correct? That's what pretty much they're saying, right? Because I must be disobeying the word of God right now, because God is a respecter of persons and women can't do this. Number two, I have to answer the call on my life. I have to answer to him. Not you, not to no nomination, not to a man or a group of men that are telling me I can or that I can't, but I have to answer to the Almighty God. If I don't answer that, then when I get there, I'm still in an eternity without him. So I guess I'm in catch 22. It's bad for me if I don't. It's bad for me if I do. So I'm just telling you, I'm taking my chances that God's not a respecter of persons, that he loves his daughters as much as he loves his son, and that as long as I'm not demeaning a man and I'm not talking down to you and acting superior, but I love you like I love my brother, that we submit one to another, walking in accordance and unity for the things of God, that I'm going to heaven. and I'm going to take my chances on that church. I'm not going to take a chance on not answering the purpose and the call of God on my life. I can't do it. I can't do it. You got to answer the call. You got to search the deep water with His Spirit that will reveal all things. We have unlimited wisdom. Right here it says in Jeremiah 29:11, you've heard this 100 times. For I know the plans, and it's talking about God. God knows the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans, guess what? That's your why. That's your purpose. Your why is going to bring you, it's going to bring prosperity to you. It's going to prosper you. It's not going to hurt you. In fact, the why that I have for your life is going to bring you hope and a future. It's not going to bring you harm. So when you and I are fearful of our plan, I know it's easier said, I'm 51, don't be. Don't be, because I was scared to death of my plan. Scared to death of His plans. If you're here on this earth, you were important. You've made it. Do you realize, I looked this up last night. I thought I misread what I looked up. The Huffington Post said in, I think, 2018, confirmed in 2023 by another source, but I read some of the other things in that source, so I threw it out. But the Huffington Post said, you ready for this? I'm not making this up. I'm going to even read it to make sure I'm right. 4,400 trillion choices with all your mama's eggs and all your papa's eggs, sperm, all those things come together. 1 in 400 trillion chances that you, Sarah Cardone, would be here. One. What? God chose you because He thought you would do that which He purposed you to do. Do you realize that He made you? He knew you in your mother's womb. It says that He has plans for you. That when you were created, you were purposed for something. Just recently when Mr. Bustard was here, he spoke a prophecy over our life. And he spoke that marriages would be healed in this house. Now I'm going to be honest with you. Before that day, I would not have thought that. I'm busy working on my own marriage. Like, God, what do you mean?
Thank God.
I know. See what I'm working with, ladies? What I'm saying is that that became a part of my purpose. It changed things. Do you want to know why it changed it? Because the Lord spoke it. And when He spoke it, if I believe that which He spoke, then I am going to start taking steps towards what He spoke. If I don't believe it, then just stand steady. Because, and I'm going to tell you ready for this? This is like the game in Monopoly. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200 until you've done what I told you to do before. Some of us are stuck in the Monopoly game on Connecticut. You want to get to Park Place to buy it, but you can't until you obey at Connecticut. Do you think I want to work on my marriage? I'm going to be real with you. Marriage is hard work. It is hard work. And anyone who tells you marriage is 50-50, they're a liar. It ain't, because 9 times out of 10, it's 100% on one while the other one's not giving nothing.
That's right.
And then you get mad. Then you get bitter. Then you start neglecting each other because now you're just ticked. And then God's got to start working on my heart. God, no, you know, and 9 times out of 10, it's Randy giving. I'm just going to be honest with you. Right? We all know Randy's the giver in our relationship. The point is, it's hard. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know how many marriages that I've seen start working in the marriage ministry, and the second they do, it's like a tsunami of you know what unleashes on their marriage. And the first thing the devil came to tell me, he said, oh, there he comes. He's coming for your marriage. I hope you're ready. I said, oh, I'm ready. Let's go. You want to know why? Because I'm not going to let the devil's lies stand in between me and what God's got for this marriage to accomplish for all of you. I refuse. I refuse. You want to know why? Because I love God's plans and purpose for my life more than I love what man thinks about it, or number two, what I think about it. Selfishness is a number one killer to your purpose and your why. Because as soon as you think that purpose is bigger than what you can obtain on your own, you're out. Let me go to the next scripture because I'm going to land a really good story today. Okay, some of you might not know this. Psalms 139:13 says, "You made all of my delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you. I can't repay you." I'm never going to forget that, Tim. "Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it." We do really well until that last line. Because I'm going to be honest with you, we're hard on ourselves. We're really hard on ourselves. And the devil doesn't applaud the good things in your life. He tells you all the ugly things about you. He tells you why you can't do what God wants you to do. What's holding, like, oh, no, no, no. He really doesn't think that about you, sweetheart. He's kind about it. He's soft in the beginning until you accept the bait. And then he gets louder and louder and louder until you believe that God made you defective. He didn't make you defective. He made you with a need for him. And when you try to do it on your own, you will be defective. But when you ask him into this place and you tell him that I'm not doing this on my own, I'm only going to do it with you, and I'm going to do it exactly the way you ask me to, it becomes completely workable. Another scripture. This is where I'm going to go with this. It's right here. You are designed for your destiny. Do you realize that? You're designed to do what God wants you to do. Be on the highway and drive by a tow truck. Do you wonder what that tow truck's doing? No. You see the big crank on it. You see the big arm. You see the deck in which the car drives up on. You're like, oh, he must be broke down. He needs a tow truck. You're the same way. God built you and designed you to do something. Chances are it's what you love. It's what you're built for. In fact, ask 3 to 5 people around you, what is your gifting? What is your talent? And they'll begin to tell you what's important. You want to know why? Because everyone else sees it but you. If you think you can sing, start singing. It doesn't mean you're the next Taylor Swiftified. Did you notice how I said that? Not Taylor Swift. It's my Christian version of Taylor Swift, my Taylor Swiftified. She's been sanctified by Jesus. She really hasn't, but I was just saying that. It doesn't mean you're going to have a platform like Taylor Swift. What it means is you can sing and there's a gift in you that God needs to use that gifting or that talent. Hear me out. Not just for the church, not just for people, not just to bring him glory, but to keep you in the process of turning into who he's got for you to be. But some of you think that singing is beneath you. And you don't want to do that. You want to start by leading the song group. But God's calling you to serve the song group. You want to know where our girls start? They start, our girls and guys, where's Zion? Is Zion in here? Zion's not here today. I didn't see him up on stage. Anyways, my girls, this is what they started with. Bringing water. Bringing water bottles out and asking, you need water today? You need water today? You need water on stage. I said, you know what? Ashley would have this conversation. Regina would have this conversation with them. Girls, if you see someone thumbing through their music, leave and go get their music for them and put it on their stand. What? Yeah, because if not, these girls out here and these guys out here will start demanding things from the band and not understanding that they've got their own struggles back there because they can't hear what happened. Their pedal just went out. Their cord just went out because they're all on cordless mics and they think the world revolves around the words they're singing. Do you care what they're singing if there isn't music behind them? Because I'm going to be honest with you, I don't. I want to hear the music. So the musicians being taken care of is a part of the worship team. But if one doesn't respect the other because they're serving one another, they'll never be able to lead from a place of service. God doesn't give you Boardwalk because he knows you need to learn to work through the hard things in Connecticut. That's Monopoly. It's the game of life. And whether we like it or not, God has you in a process. I close with the story of my life. When Randy and I got married at 5 days after I was 18, he forgot my birthday, by the way, for the first year in his life. He forgot my birthday, but remembered we were getting married on Saturday. Just want to say you could... You did forget that. That's all right. I haven't. Women don't forget. We have steel trap minds, don't we, ladies? Randy and I married on the precept that I did not want children. And if you want children, then I'm not for you. I've taken care of that children's nursery in the children's church my whole life. I've copied papers. Those kids have spit on me. They've wrote on me. They've pooped on me. They've peed on me. They broke all of my toys because the first church was in my house. They got into all my office supplies and wrote on all of my papers and made it all disorderly. I'm out. I want nothing to do with children. And if that's what you want, then I'm not the girl for you. So Randy said, okay. We got married. Years down the road, 8 years. I wake up in the middle of the night. Now I'm talking, I don't want children. There is no question to me, we are never having children. Like for real. I woke up and in the middle of this dream, I felt a child move inside of me. Now men, this would be how this is like. And you've ever been in a fist fight in your dream? And you wake up and you're sweating, you're panting, you're like, oh! And you're like, oh shoot, that was a dream. It was so real that I woke up with tears streaming down my face and I woke Randy up and I'm like, honey, I think we're supposed to have a baby. And he started crying. No, we're not. We're never having children. No, we're not. We married and said we weren't. What are you talking about? And I said, okay, maybe I missed it. Let's just go back to sleep. We went back to sleep. The next morning he got up and he said, babe, he said, what happened? And I told him and I said, I think it's God telling us something. He's like, well, I'm not going off of your dream, that's for sure. I'm not. He said, but I'm going to pray. I'm going to go on a prayer and we're going to go on a fast. And we're going to ask God what he wants us to do for our lives. 3-day fast. And Randy come back and he said, here's what I know. God said to practice a lot, and if it happens, we'll get there. I put that in there for you. That wasn't true. My point is, then a year goes by. Nothing happens. Can't get pregnant. Come to find out, I had a concussion when I was younger. I fell 8 feet into an open poured garage floor, like a basement floor. And I shot a basketball. And when I did, I fell in. And when I fell, I altered the work of my pituitary gland. And so I was not ovulating in a proper, correct way. So I went on this whole bunch of stuff. And literally, she said, you'll never have children. And now I'm hurt. Because I know in my heart that it's God's plan for my life. I didn't want children. I had no clue of what he had planned for me. And if he would have told me when I was 5 days, 18, that you're going to marry this man and you're going to have children, I would have ran from the plan and the purpose of God because I wasn't able to hear it. Life had changed my perception of what children are. That nursery did me in. Girl, everyone that wants birth control, go work in the nursery. It broke me as a person. I wasn't prepared at 8 years old to run a nursery. I wasn't prepared to run a children's church, but we didn't have a choice. It's all we had. And so the devil meant what was for good for my bad, but God turned it around. And now I have 3 lovely children. I'm going to be a grandmother, church. I'm so excited. I'm ecstatic about what God's going to do in my grandbaby's life already. But I can't put expectations on this grandbaby. I already know. I'm so excited. Here's what it says. Proverbs 19:21, and I close. It says, that, where's it at? Right here. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. You all have plans in your heart, and you think you know what it is you want and what it is that you're going to be and what you're going to do in your marriage and in your job and with your children. I've got a plan with this grandbaby, and it's beautiful in my mind. But God's purpose will prevail. Do you see? But if we don't go into those deep places, the dark blue water that I'm petrified of, I'm petrified of those shark-infested waters where I can't touch, and something I can't see is swimming below me. And he might mean me harm. We have to trust God with those deep places. And we've got to ask for him to reveal all things. And if you're scared to death to be a parent like I was, so was I. And there was no book that prepared me for parenthood. And Randy neither. Randy's like, I can't stand these kids when they're little. They can't talk. They just cry. They whine. I don't know what they need. Yet I was the one that said, I love it when they're little. I know exactly what they need. God equips you before he purposes you. He didn't give you a purpose without the equipping that goes with it. And that's what we as believers forget. We forget that what he calls, he purposed. You ever pick up a tomato package of seeds? Tomato plants. No, let's do seeds because seeds are better. Pick up marigold seeds. You believe what's on the package. You believe those are marigold seeds. If there was no picture on the front of the package, you would walk over and say, those are marigolds. Why? Because you bought marigolds. You're a seed in the kingdom. God knows what you are. There's no picture on your package. But if you'll dive in to the farmer, the one who plants you in the kingdom of God, if you'll dig into him, he'll reveal all things. You don't have to look at that marigold package and say, well, how am I going to make it yellow? How am I going to make it orange? How am I know it's going to get 8 inches tall? How am I going to know that it's going to bear a flower? Oh, I'm just so worried. Throw the stupid seed in the ground. It grows. That's the way God does. He's not worried about you finding your why. He's not worried about how tall you're going to be. He's not worried about what your color is going to be. He knows. He made it and he trusts it. You have to know it. How well I know it. Live your life like you know what he wants you to do. And when you sense one inkling, I'm looking at a young couple here. I'm looking at my WIC couple. I'm going to use you as an example. They're right behind Ben and Hannah. I come through here a couple weeks ago. I shake her hand and I said, you changed your seat. You were over here in the risers and now you're not. And she said, yeah, I had a dream. Is that what it was? A dream? I had a dream that I was supposed to be down front. She said, so I went to my husband and he's like, you know what? That's been on my heart. I think we're supposed to be down front. You want to know what we're saying in the church? Leaders lead from the front. Sorry, I don't mean that all in the back, people. You're not leading. I'm not saying that. But if you're leading in this church, I don't want you in the back of the church. I want you down front because leaders lead by example. You know what this tells me about this young couple? Though this is going to set them on fire. What this tells me about this young couple is that God's calling them to a leadership position. God's calling them out of the place of comfort and saying, I need you to become more than you are because I've got a purpose and a plan for your life. And I'm going to reveal it, but you've got to be faithful in the little steps of what I need you to do. That's what's happening to them. From a simple dream and a confirmation from her husband. And I said, and let this be an example to you that your marriage is in unity. And God's going to use that unity to do something great. Do you see? It's a process. It's a process, church. We painted nails. I promise I quit. We painted nails last week. And I noticed one of the ladies, and it never dawned on me until after the thought. I noticed one of the ladies just loving what she was doing. She was so gentle, so kind. doing it just the way I wished I could do it. I'm really not good at painting nails. It's why I get mine done. I don't enjoy it. Nope, I'm not doing yours, Mom. It's so bad. And when you get to my age and you do need bifocals to see, it gets a little messy. But I watched one of the girls do it, and when I saw her doing it, I went, a girl came up and she was just finishing, and they're like, here, Pastor Nicole, do you want to do hers? And I said, actually, let's have Emily do it. Come to find out, it dawned on me, like the third girl that she sat down with, she went to school for cosmetology. No wonder she liked it. She felt confident in what she was doing. I did not. I felt confident in loving the elderly and making them believe they were important. I wanted to talk about their life, what they were before they came into the home, what did they love, what words of wisdom they could give me. I'm a different being, but I didn't get jealous of Emily. I didn't try to compete with Emily because my purpose is different than Miss Emily's. And guess who at the end of the day, when I said, now girls, if there's anyone here that feels like they would want to do this on a more regular basis, please feel free to step up to the plate. Not 10 minutes in my car. Ding. Emily's texting. You know, Pastor, that what you said, I think I could do that. I think I could love people like that. And I could build a group of girls, but even if I don't have a group of girls, I'll do it. Hats off. What is that? That's leadership being bred. That's her purpose being defined. Is Mandy here today? Mandy, come on up here. I want you to tell me. I spent some time with Mandy over the weekend, and she was sharing with me this, and I want Ashley to tell me hers and Lindsay. They're already here on the front. Let me start with Lindsay and then I'll give me a time. Okay, Lindsay, I want you to tell me what you told me in the office this week about purpose when I talked to you about your why. Mm-hmm. You stand up? Yep.
So I was a stay-at-home mom for 12 years and I got married young, very young, and then started having babies right away. So for years, I felt like my purpose were my kids. That was it.
Yeah.
Did that for a really long time, but it kind of became a trap. I thought that was like my only purpose, anything that they needed at all times. And about the 12th year, I prayed and I would have them to school and I would sit there. I would have everything completely done in my home. I mean, everything. And I would sit in the living room and I'd say, Jesus, you have to have more for me than this. I feel like I have so much more to offer. And, I just kept praying and believing and sowed seed and came and volunteered here at the church. Then coronavirus came. Everything just went crazy for a little bit. And then I just kept praying and fasting, and Joe would believe with me. And then just out of the blue, I got a text message from Eric Smith and said, would you like to be my executive assistant? I sit down, type out, what is an executive assistant on Google? And I said, I'd like to talk about it. And that's where I am. I just kept believing.
So, Lindsay, you didn't know that at age 17, that you were going to be working in a church.
No.
And that your ministry was a part of the ministry. But look at where you are. And it started with motherhood. But it started by you answering the small call.
Yeah.
And being what you knew you loved to do. And then when it didn't suffice, you're like, God, there's got to be more. Beautiful. Okay, Ash.
So I can remember being in this church since I was 11 and leading worship back in the youth. And then that person she's talking about at 21 that felt the call to go somewhere, that's me. When I said, bye, I got to go to Australia. I got to go, you know, figure out what we're supposed to do. And all the sooner knew that that wasn't it. That I was supposed to come home. And along my journey, there's been multiple times that I've stepped out and thought that I was supposed to do this. And I always considered them mistakes. I always consider them failures. Mm-hmm. Of, oh, you stepped out and you did this, but it didn't work out. So come back home. Come back to safety.
Mm-hmm.
Find out what God wants you to do. And I remember coming home after one of these and talking to Pastor Nicole, and she said to me, Ash, that's not a failure. That's a faith journey. And you stepped out in faith and you did something, and God rewards faith. So don't think that if you have a mistake or you step out and it didn't work out the way you wanted it to in your own head that it's wrong, because it's not. Mm-hmm. It's a path for you to go on. And I thank God that I went through all I went through, because I wouldn't be here doing what I'm doing right now without all that.
Correct. Love it. Okay, Mandy, this is it. You're the last one of the day. And then I want to put a challenge to the people.
Okay, so in 2000, I graduated, and I was in a church service. The sanctuary was over there. Pastor Dosett called me up front, and he said, in 2 years, you're going to know your purpose. And I thought, that's interesting, because in 2 years, I'm going to graduate art school. And before then, I had no plans, no dreams, what I wanted to do.
At all.
I do remember my senior year writing an essay asking, where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years? And I had no clue. And I'm like, well, I kind of like art. The only career I can think of in art is an art teacher. So I wrote about that. After art school, the date came. He said, mark your calendar in 2 years.
Yeah.
So that date came and went, and God did not reveal my purpose in lights or speak audibly to me, and I was a little disappointed.
So there were no flashing lights.
No.
So maybe your purpose was designed in your heart, and it was there. It was just along the way, you hadn't gotten to where you knew what that was at that point.
Yeah. And so I just started pursuing my career, and about 2 years into it, then I started having kids, and then, then 2 years in, I'm like, I want to be a stay-at-home mom. So I'm like, well, that's my purpose too, right?
Yes. Your purpose changes. It morphs.
Yeah. And then I landed a job at home where I could have my career too and be a mom. And so I'm like, well, this is it, right? And I also had opportunities to, I was on the team to create all the beautiful classrooms here.
And the artwork here.
And I was over the art group for a while, for a season. And just recently, I overheard a friend talking about her school needed an art teacher. And my ears perked up. And like, I just remember that in high school. And within a month, I interviewed and I accepted the job. So
now you're an art teacher.
I'm an art teacher. And it's at a Christian school where I'm encouraged to minister to the kids. So I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
I pulled up those ladies. I wish, men, I had more men to talk to. I know more about the ladies because I spend more time with the ladies. But Mandy's purpose was revealed when she graduated school. Why? Because she was designed for that part of her destiny. Ashley thought she had to go to Australia to Planet Shakers. Is that who they are? Hillsong. Yeah, you know, Planet Shakers, they're Australian too. There's just a different side. She thought she had to go to Hillsong to learn how to be a worship leader when she had already become the worship leader there and just needed to step into what God had called her to do. Lindsay thought she didn't have a purpose other than motherhood. And God revealed to her that when it's time, I'm going to release you, and gave her a hunger for more. And she began seeking those deep waters to find it. Here's what I know, church. There's power in the prayer of agreement. And there's some of you out there that you've been wandering for a really long time, aimlessly wandering to find your why. And yes, there's a why in your church, but there's a greater why of your life. There's a greater way. Sometimes my life is intertwined in everything I do in the church, and that's great. My motherhood's connected here. Yes, my job's connected here. Yes, my ministry. But some of you, I think of Mary Gilbert, who worked here at the church, and what's her why? I'll tell you why. She's in another ministry doing ministry for motorcycles. Well, she doesn't neglect her church purpose. She has a church purpose. She leads small groups. She attends church on a regular basis. But she ministers to the unsaved in a motorcycle group. She's evangelistic in her call and what God's purposed her to do. Didn't stop her from being Mike's wife. Definitely didn't stop her being for the grandmother of the year. And it definitely didn't stop her from being a mom. But you gotta find it. And as
starts by saying yes to the very small thing that you like, the very small thing that you feel drawn to, the very small thing that you feel God spoke to your heart. Marge, what you do in that nursing home, you are called to do. I don't know if no one's ever told you that, but I watched the love that you have. It is endless and undying for them. You're patient, you're kind, you're long-suffering, you're meek. I watched you love those people. And I only hope that I can be half the woman you are when it comes to that. You're in your purpose. You're in your purpose. Took you a long time to find it, doesn't it? You just land there, but all along the way, God prepares you for that moment. And you are shining. Shining. If you don't know your why today, we want to pray with you. We want to pray. We want to agree and pray that God's going to help you find your why. Prayer team, come up with me. Randy, Pastor Randy, Mom, come. We're going to pray for these people today. And if you're in the house today and you're not a Christian, then I've exposed your first why, and that's to be found by the Lord. And if you're here, you're not here by chance, and He knew who would attend today, and He knew what you would hear. Giving you your why right now. If you want to give your life to Christ, if you want something more purposed, and you don't want to wander around aimlessly in this life, then this is your time. Is there anyone that would say, Pastor Nicole, I want to know Jesus. I want to be found by Him, and I want to have a relationship with Jesus. Is there anyone in the house today that would say that? Right here, right here.
Wonderful.
We're going to pray. Is there anyone else? She's a bold, bold believer right now. It takes strength to walk down in front of a church to do this. Is there anyone else that would say, come on, don't be waiting. I like it. Come on, anyone else in this house? Anyone else in this house? Look at these front rowers. Look, see, they're already leading from their front, doing it. God's here to love people. You don't have to be perfect. We were far from perfect. I'm still far from perfect. But He's working on us every day. You're not disqualified from purpose because of what you've done. You haven't gone through too much in this life that God calls it unredeemable. That's not the way our God is. He come to save and to rescue those who need Him. Is there anyone? Anyone else? All right. Stand to your feet, church. We're going to do a baby dedication this morning before we pray for all the people finding why, because I think there's going to be more than we think. Are you here to give your life to Jesus, young man?
Yes. I love it. Carol.
Rossler, you want to come on down in the house today? Randy, you got your mic on? We've got a family here that's got a new baby.
To test. I think it's on. Mine's on. I'm on. Speaking of babies, yes, our baby dedication. Pastor Leonard, come on up here, because this is your grandchild that we're dedicating this morning. Nikki, Montez, where's Montez? Come on up here, brother. Hallelujah. Speaking of babies, come on over here. Let's go to the middle, so everybody can see you guys. You know, with our grandchild that's going to be coming, I thought, you know what? What about Meemaw and Hee-Haw? What do you think of that? What's up, Meemaw? What do you think, Brother Rosser? What do they call you?
Pappy.
Pappy. All right. I like that. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Well, look at the whole family down
here. Come on around here. Come on.
Praise the Lord.
Circle around. Amen. Come with this baby.
Here's our little man. Hallelujah. He's feeling good now, Nikki?
He's doing better.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
This is Montez Dwayne White.
Yes.
They call him MJ for short. He was born September 6, 2023. And we're here to celebrate his birth and dedicate him to the Lord.
Amen. So, Pastor Rossler, if you would, since you're also pastor and grandpappy, go ahead and talk to us here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Montez and Nikki, I charge you in the name of the Lord before God and this congregation today to raise MJ in the fear and the admonition of the Lord.
Yes.
I charge you in Jesus' name to walk before God with your whole heart and demonstrate God's righteousness and His love. I charge you in the name of the Lord to raise him in the Word in faith.
Yes.
I charge you in the name of the Lord to teach him God's ways and to demonstrate God's ways. I charge you in the name of the Lord to raise this young one in the house of God so that he has that love and that passion for the house of God.
Yes.
I charge you in Jesus'
name. Hallelujah. Thank you.
To love and cherish every moment that you have with your children.
Yes.
That they all grow up to live for God with all of their minds.
Hallelujah.
And Nikki.
Thank you, Jesus.
I want to remind you that this is an arrow that God's given you. And that you're the bow. And there's going to be times that you're going to feel challenged to possibly change the way he was created. It's not your job to change it. There's arrows that go quick and silent. There's arrows that have a curve. There's arrows that go straight through and tear up everything in their way and path in order to get to God's design. Trust the process. God made him what he's to be. And I remind you, Montez, you're enough.
That's right.
God knew what it would take to raise this baby, and he believes as a father, you are enough. Nikki, you're enough. And when you too feel like you can go no more, when you feel like your strength has been exhausted, when you feel like you're at your wit's end, know that when you are weak, God in you is strong. With faith, you'll raise this child. With faith, you'll demonstrate the love of Christ in your home. And it's by faith you'll please the Father when you raise your child. God believes in you, your church believes in you, and your pastors believe in you. And so does Grandpa.
Yes, he does.
All right?
Pappy does too. And you know what? Here's the thing, guys. You're not in this alone.
No.
Look around you. This is your family. Look around you here. This is your family. You know, we're all here to help you. You know, we're all here to babysit. Oh, wait a minute. Well, you know, maybe not all, everybody.
I'll take you up.
But you'll take us up on this. But we're here for you.
Yes.
All right? So you're with the family. Need some help? You call.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
All right? So we're going to pray just blessings over
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
Right now, five different blessings. So everybody agree with us right now. In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for Montez.
Mm-hmm.
God, I thank you for the family. I thank you for mom and dad. God, I thank you for the gift and that you will, Lord God, give them wisdom and guidance to raise this amazing gift. And God, I thank you for Montez. And first thing, God, I thank you for healthy and productivity in this child. He is healthy. He is blessed in Jesus' name. God, we curse, Father, any sickness, any disease that tries to come up on him in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for complete health in his body. In the name of Jesus. I thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. We give you praise for it. In the name of Jesus. God, I thank you also that he will answer your call early in life. In the name of Jesus, God. I thank you for that. And that he will have respect and reverence for you, Lord Jesus. He will be submissive and he will be humble, Lord God, all the days of his life. And Father, I thank you, God, that you will help him overcome temptations of the world and the sin that so easily will try to beset him. God, I thank you for that protection over his life this morning in the name of Jesus. God, and according to Philippians 4:13, God, in seasons of difficulty and in joy, God, I thank you that many, that he will have his first response will come to you, that he will honor you, Lord God, in the difficult times, in the joyful times, that he will always run to you and not to the world, Lord, and not to sin in Jesus' name. And finally, God, I thank you for the friendships that you're going to bring to him, Lord God. May they be godly friendships. And that, God, he will honor you all the days of his life with the friendships that you bring by his path. God, we confess these things, we speak these things, and we thank you for these things in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. We thank you. Love you, Montez.
All right. If you are in the house this morning and you've been struggling finding your why, and you want that power of agreement, God says wherever two or more are gathered, then we pray you're going to find it. You're going to get an answer. And God's going to begin to reveal himself to you, whether it's through a dream, whether it's through a person. Oh, wait, I need out of this picture. Or whether it's through a person, whatever that is, God's going to begin to do something in you. So we're going to go ahead and take this time, and we're going to call forth all of you that would like prayer for this morning. And we want to pray with each and every one of you. For the rest of you, you're welcome to leave the service and go, and we will see you on Wednesday night of this week at 7 o'clock, where we're going to have a good word for you again. If you would, enjoy your Sunday, and those that are wanting prayer, stick around. We are here as long as it takes.
Amen. Come on, Meemaw.
No. Mimi and Papa.